colleague Kara Lombardo covers big corporate deals. And how often does the name Elon Musk come across your desk?
The past few months, every day, multiple times a day.
After months of trying to back out of a deal to buy Twitter, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, is now back in.
Elon Musk changed his mind.
Changed his mind about buying Twitter again.
A very big new twist in this whole Elon Musk Twitter drama.
Quite a roller coaster here for Twitter.
Major reversal for the richest person in the world who had been facing a lawsuit the company filed over his attempt to back out of the deal.
This battle over Twitter has been barreling towards a court date.
So October 17th was going to be the day, and still could be the day, that probably the biggest corporate lawsuit of all times was to start. This was going to see Elon Musk, one of the most outspoken billionaire entrepreneurs there is, go up against Twitter, a ubiquitous social media platform that has a big role in our everyday lives. And they were going to be fighting over whether or not a $44 billion deal needed to happen. So after spending months trying to get out of the $44 billion deal to buy Twitter, yesterday he surprised everybody by saying, you know what, I'll actually just pay exactly what I agreed to pay for it back in April.
Is there anything different about it?
Nope. His lawyers sent Twitter's lawyers a letter and said, let's go ahead with the deal we'd already agreed to at exactly the terms we'd agreed to, no conditions attached.
But this time, like, for real.
For real. Supposedly.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Wednesday, October 5th. Coming up on the show, Elon Musk is trying again to buy Twitter.
It can be hard to see the challenges the people we work with are facing. Addressing these invisible struggles can make us and our companies healthier. Join Holly Robinson-Pete on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare.
So this whole saga has stretched on for months. Can you tell us, like, the basic building blocks that have happened?
Yeah, so I guess it all started earlier in the year. He first reveals that he has a huge stake in Twitter shares and wants to get involved in the company. So that was, you know, newsworthy, surprising, but not out of the ordinary. He's a huge Twitter user, and it kind of made sense. Twitter welcomed him as an investor. They even said, hey, you want to join the board? He said, sure. But then immediately things started getting unpredictable from there. He turned around and made an offer to buy the entire company. But it wasn't a normal offer. It like had no conditions about how he was going to pay for it. He said it was the best and final offer of $54.20 a share, which in deal making on Wall Street is unheard of. You typically open up the door for a little negotiation and back and forth on price. Twitter was kind of not taking that very seriously. But a week later, he surprised everybody by showing up with over $46 billion in financing, and the mood changed at that point.
And Twitter agreed to be bought.
That's right. Twitter not only agreed to be bought, but Musk was so eager to seal the deal that he said to them, you know what, I'll even skip all the normal due diligence, which is kind of the equivalent of doing an inspection on a house. He said, let's just get this thing signed up and go ahead with it. So they said, okay.
But not long after Musk's bid, tech stocks took a dive, and Twitter didn't look so attractive anymore.
A month later, after agreeing to the deal, we start seeing signs that he might have cold feet. He tweets in May, the deal is on hold. And then the stock drops and things start to change.
Musk had been saying that Twitter was filled with fake accounts or bots. He alleged the company wasn't owning up to it. Twitter says that while there are bots, it's not as big of a problem as Musk claims. And then in July,
He sends a letter to Twitter saying he intends to terminate the agreement to buy the company because he's concerned that they misled him about the health of the business.
How does Twitter respond?
Twitter says, we had a deal at $54.20 a share. Nothing has changed. We intend to sue you to go through with it. And they did that.
What was their case?
Basically, the merger agreement was ironclad. We made an agreement. You have to follow through with it.
Musk countersued, listing bots as a big problem, as well as complaints about being left out of executive decisions.
It kind of felt to legal experts like he was looking for different things to throw against the wall and to see what stuck. But from the beginning, most people have said that Twitter had the much stronger case.
But in August, it looked like Musk's side might get a bit of a break when a whistleblower from Twitter went public.
This was the former head of security at Twitter, and he said there are widespread problems within the platform. That immediately gave Musk more fuel for his lawsuit. He asked to add some of these complaints to his lawsuit.
And so at that point, it sort of seemed like Musk had some momentum.
Yeah, people were saying, you know, his case didn't look all that strong before this, but I guess maybe if there's a real smoking gun somewhere in here, that could change the trajectory of things.
A Twitter spokesperson said the whistleblower complaints were full of inconsistencies and inaccuracies. Ahead of the October trial, both sides were gathering evidence. As part of this process, Twitter's lawyers requested access to things like Musk's private communications.
They're asking for things like text messages between Elon Musk and his lawyers and his close circle of advisors that may have suggested he had reason to want to get out of the deal that was not the reasons he argued in the lawsuit.
Let's talk about these text messages. What was in them?
I have to say they're pretty entertaining. When else are you going to get to see how a billionaire texts with his inner circle?
There were adoring comparisons to superheroes like Batman. Mark Merrill, co-founder of Riot Games, texted Musk, quote, "You are the hero Gotham needs." And about the Twitter investment, hedge fund billionaire Kenneth Griffin texted Musk, quote, "Love it." Double exclamation point.
It was interesting just to see how everybody around him fawned over him, gave him a lot of props for the deal. I think the newscaster Gail King texted him and said his Twitter acquisition was a gangsta move. The podcaster Joe Rogan said he really hopes he goes through with it, and if you do, we should throw a big party. Just a lot of people trying to be involved on the outskirts of the deal.
Did these text messages sort of say anything about how Musk was communicating about this deal?
I mean, it was interesting to see. He was kind of nonchalant and casual about the whole thing. People would send him ideas about what to do with the platform and how to go about his acquisition. And he was, you know, very casual about it.
For Musk, there was something else on the horizon. A 2-day deposition scheduled to begin tomorrow.
So, I mean, at this deposition, you would assume Twitter's lawyers plan to drill down on his actions kind of between when he agreed to buy Twitter and when he said he wanted to terminate the deal. He would probably be asked about conversations with advisors, whether he called them up and said, hey, help me try to find a way out of this, or I want to back out. What can we do? Also, it's possible just the discomfort of being interviewed for hours and potentially saying something out of line. It's possible that his lawyers convinced him it's just a risk you don't want to take.
But there might be a way for Musk to avoid all of that. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Musk's proposal to revive his original offer for Twitter came in a very brief memo.
So basically, late Monday, his lawyers send a two-sentence letter to Twitter's lawyers out of the blue. In plain terms, it says, we'd like to go through with the deal on the original terms and drop the related lawsuits.
When you heard this, how surprised were you?
Very surprised. I think most people were expecting there to be settlement talks involving a price cut in the deal. That's typically how the majority of these cases unfold. The two sides get together, say, hey, let's avoid the trial. We can just agree to do the deal, but at a slightly lower price. It's worth it to both of us.
So his lawyers send this letter. They say, game on. How does Twitter respond?
So Twitter, from the beginning of all of this, has said we intend to close the transaction at the original price of $54.20 a share. And they basically said the same thing yesterday, but yesterday it took on a new meaning because it suggested we received his offer, we intend to make this work, and now my understanding is the two sides are working to put together a plan to close the deal soon.
Why wouldn't Twitter just say, definitely, let's get this going?
Well, I mean, you have to be a little bit cautious with Elon Musk after he's put Twitter through the ringer on this. How do they know he's actually going to follow through with what he says? They're wanting to get some protections in place. They want the judge to help oversee this, make sure he follows through, and there's no takebacks again this time.
While the two sides seem to agree in principle, they're negotiating the final terms. And if they reach an agreement to close the deal, the trial could be called off. Could be. Because as of this afternoon, the judge presiding over the trial says it might go ahead anyway. So here we are again. Elon Musk could be buying Twitter. Can you remind us, what is his vision for the company?
Well, obviously, he's been really focused on the amount of spam and scam bots on the platform. So he thinks he can do a better job cracking down on that than Twitter has so far. He also has a few other ideas he's floated. I mean, one is that he feels strongly about free speech and would like to soften Twitter's stance on content moderation. And others, have been things like allowing for longer tweets and relying less on advertising.
Loosen content moderation, bolster free speech. Why does he care so much about those things?
He's basically said it's like civilization is at stake and free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy. He's called Twitter kind of like a digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. And he said we can't just be willy-nilly banning people or taking down tweets. We need to be more thoughtful about it, maybe make it temporary.
Does this mean he could unban some people from Twitter, like Donald Trump?
I think all of that would be on the table.
Musk talked about his vision for Twitter at a TED event earlier this year.
A good sign as to whether there is free speech is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like? And if that is the case, then we have free speech. And it's
damn. Last night, of course, in a tweet, Musk suggested that buying Twitter might be part of something bigger. He said it's a, quote, accelerant to creating X, the everything app. In the past, Musk has hinted at creating a social media company called X.com.
Every step of the way, he's done things the opposite of what is typically done on Wall Street. And so, there was kind of a feeling among bankers and lawyers and people watching the case, I hope the court holds him to account. This is how deal-making has always been done, and he can't just back out of a contract like that. So it's been interesting to watch. Just, he's played by his own rules, and here we may come to the same conclusion either way.
This deal was agreed in April. It's been through the ringer. We're now in October, 6 months later. What damage has been wrought to Twitter and to Musk through all of this?
I mean, the legal fees are estimated to be in the tens of millions for both sides at this point. The time value of just wasting time when they could have closed the deal a few months ago costs for Twitter, for sure. And the reputational issues, the platform has suffered being kind of caught in this tug of war.
How are people interpreting this about face from Musk?
You know, I've been polling everybody I talk to for weeks, how do you think this whole saga ends? And I've gotten 20 different versions of how this dramatic lawsuit could end in either a settlement or a verdict, or one of the parties could come to the table with some sort of proposal. I have to say that Musk saying do the deal on the original terms was not one of the ideas I ever heard.
That's all for today, Wednesday, October 5th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you want to catch up on our previous coverage of Musk's Twitter deal, there's a Spotify playlist of our episodes chronicling the whole saga. A link to it is in our show notes. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.